Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Have you ever seen people get into an argument over religion and get so angry they could hardly talk? What do anger and arrogance tell the person to whom you're talking, or who may be overhearing what you are discussing? Is it possible you may lose the argument, not because you do not have and know the truth, but because of your attitude and demeanor? How can we expect to win others to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we violate the very spirit of Christ? The Apostle Peter exhorted the early Christians, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." 1 Peter 3:15. Did you notice the expression meekness and fear? What did Peter mean by these two words? Meekness does not mean weakness. We can never present a powerful case for obeying the gospel if we are weak in our beliefs and in our presentation of the truth. How easy it is for us to think we are being meek when we are simply weak and vacillating. If you say to someone, "This is what my church teaches," or "This is what our preacher says," you're not likely to make a good impression on the person you're teaching. Instead, you should turn to the Scriptures and say, "This is what Jesus said," or "This is what Paul taught." Jesus Christ and Paul have far greater authority than your church or your preacher. Sometimes we may think we are being meek and humble when we express doubts about the conclusions we reach on a given passage or proposition. If you say, "Well, I'm not really sure about what I'm saying, but this is what I think," my friend, you need to be sure, not unreasonably dogmatic, when you are teaching the lost or the mediating critics. If you are not sure, delay the discussion until you have studied sufficiently that you can take a stand on the Word of God. You will make a much better impression for good if you know whereof you speak and present the gospel in love and concern. The word fear warns us against being ugly-spirited, know-it-alls. Teaching others the Word of God entails a grave responsibility. Is that not the reason James wrote, "My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation"? James 3, 1. What you teach your friends and family members will almost certainly influence their earthly behavior and their eternal destiny. You surely do not want to be guilty of teaching someone soul-condemning error. You do remember our Lord's warning about the blind leading the blind. If you teach the truth in an offensive manner, or if you teach error, you may well be leading someone into eternal damnation. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ, knew he had been called into the apostleship, and had received direct revelation from God Almighty. And yet, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said very humbly, "And I, brethren, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5. The word fear, both in 1 Peter 3:15 and in 1 Corinthians 2:2, does not mean Paul was afraid to preach. It suggests the enormous responsibility God had given to him. Preaching must not be done lightly. It is one of the most serious duties any human being could ever have. That is the reason we must give an answer to every man who asks, in meekness and in fear. Both our own souls and the souls of those we teach are at stake. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless you.